Good evening, everybody, and welcome to, well, the not-as-hi-fi portion of the program. At any rate, tonight, we're going to talk about a few things hockey, get you ready for September, and probably you're going to wish that the Injury Ninja ever existed. Phone number, as always, is 347-826-7358 for now. Senior Timothy Rosenthal will be joining us at some point. Hey, you know, the Injury Ninja, I think, got him, too. But all kidding aside, it's hard to believe that there's less than 6 weeks to go until the regular season starts. For those that are sweltering through the August heat, August and early September heat, I do apologize. There's nothing I can do about it. That's just how it goes. We'll be adjusting our sound files and all that other stuff. There may be a huge undertaking of a project that we're going to ask of people to see if there's a way that we can download a lot of our old audio files and save them somewhere. So, again, we'll try our best. Look, tough deal for everybody this time of year. It's not fun when you really think about this. You're going into September. Fantasy leagues are starting to ramp up. There's even regular season hockey going on overseas in Russia. And then unfortunately, hey, you know what? Sometimes gems that are not expected. In this case, you got one from a player that nobody ever expected because, well, you just didn't expect him to get hurt quite like this early in the KHL season, the Continental Hockey League. And that, of course, would be Ilya Kovalchuk, who, look, by all accounts, and from watching it, and forgive me, the stream I had at least was pretty good, but still there were parts that was a little bit choppy. From the gist of it, he basically went for what I would call a rather sizable hit, and it backfired. Rather badly. I mean, basically, this was towards the end of his second shift of the game, so this was early. It wasn't as if, this happened in the third period or et cetera. This happened in the very early stages of the game. So, when you look at this, it's a huge injury. It is a significant knee injury, as it's being termed. He's going to be out probably at least 3 months, possibly a little bit longer, perhaps. You have to think that it's at least a torn ACL, but look, that's the rumor that we got from our friends at the KHL that we're trying to find out more information. We'll wait a little bit longer just to make sure, but that is the diagnosis right now. The bottom line is, Ilya Kovalchuk is going to miss a significant part of the KHL season, at least half, if not more. People forget that the KHL schedule gets a little choppy. There is a part of December and typically little parts here and there where they go on 10-day breaks, 20-day breaks, etc. So what appears to be a season that starts at the end of August actually doesn't end until March. So I do understand that. And remember that their schedule is about two-thirds of the average NHL schedule. So there's even less margin for error for SK St. Petersburg to defend their title. And it's not going to be easy without Kovalchuk. They had already lost the CSK earlier in the week and now lost yesterday to the Torpedo by a score of 3-1. So, look, this is not going to be not the way you start your season. Obviously, if you're St. Petersburg, there's been a lot in and out. Considering, coach one coach left, another coach came in. So not so good. It's not the first time that we've heard this or said this, but look, Ilya Kovalchuk has had a history with knee injuries before. He's had a few in the NHL. most notably a few years ago, he had a knee injury, and then 2 years ago in the KHL, he had a knee injury as well. So this is, if it's the same knee, and it looks like it was, nobody should really be surprised. Part of the reason why Ilya Kovalchuk might have went over was because, let's face it, he didn't want to play 25 minutes a night anymore. In the NHL, the KHL is a little bit easier under normal circumstances as far as play. And normally, injuries like this do not happen. It was a little bit of an unusual circumstance. So, now, obviously not far from the only thing to talk about. There's a lot going on in the NHL, as there always is. Nothing major in the news department. There's not really been a lot of signings. Christian Eroff was signed earlier in the week by the LA Kings to a $1.5 million deal for 1 year. Seems like the theme. You got these pretty good defensemen that kind of got left out in free agency initially. They wait a little bit too long. Their asking price goes down, and magically, somebody that you don't expect to swoop in does just that. And that's what happened. Dean Lombardi, a lot of credit. Even if, say, Eroff only plays 60, 65 games, still a good investment. No matter what people might argue. Now, there's a lot of other news, too. We'll try and get into it as best as we can. Again, it literally, is just right about a week and a half until training camps. Most of the early training camps are for rookies, and then the veterans report about a week later, and then the preseason just starts. But sadly, we have to go into it because we've been told to, and there's been a lot of injuries. So, we believe we're going to have to delve into this segment this early in our offseason.
This new segment brought to you by the Injury Ninja, not only injuring people since 2007, but destroying fantasy teams since 2000. Talky fans.
Well, that is correct. Unfortunately, injuries happen. And in this case, man, do they keep. The number one thing you have to keep an eye on early in training camp, players coming back, players recovering, players that are having setbacks, players that are getting injured right before. You've seen it in St. Louis. You saw the results. Unfortunately, big Christian Berglund. So, look, this is how it is. You know, we've joked about it a little bit. We really have. We joked about it a little bit, and we're facing it. So, again, I digress heavily when I say this. You have Christian Berglund injured. You now have Jori Lehterä around. Nicklas Backstrom may not be ready. And just for starters. And this is what we've been kind of warning people about. These are things that just thank you. about whatever the heck just happened. But apparently we got visited by the Blog Talk Radio Gremlins, which apparently during the hi-fi days, we never really had much of a problem. Go figure. Just sort of an odd but true thing that we couldn't avoid saying. But hey, we'll try to get there. Again, our apologies. Phone number to dial in still is 1-347-826-7358. The connection hops out again. We'll have to try something else. Didn't do, unfortunately, because with the other way being kind of screwed up, this is what we've been sort of stuck with, if you will. So the direct connect is really more for lo-fi, unfortunately. It's playing, lo-fi. It is working, however. So that's how it is. But like I said, injuries are something that you're going to want to keep an eye on, especially when training camps start. The dreaded groin injury seems to almost come right away. This player is being held out. That player is being held out. Certain players are going to be basically just in sort of a careful holding pattern. You hate to see it, but it's there. And it's always there. So, the first question I was asked actually the other night, unfortunately, was, do you expect a significant injury in training camp? And the answer almost always is, yes. I don't like it. I don't even like the fact that, when you look into it, this season, at least from a man games loss standpoint, could rival the 2010 season again. It could also rival 2013 as well, which was another very high year. And look, last year was high. Everybody knows because of the mumps. The mumps was just a significant it just spread everywhere, it seemed. And as a result, when that happened, it caught a lot of people off guard, and then you had the, after Corey Perry was named patient zero, et cetera, and things started to, in a sense, calm down. You then had the case with Sidney Crosby, and that seemed to start again. And this is how it goes, unfortunately. Not much you can do. There's not much that can be said. I was also asked, is there a mumps outbreak in the area? And the answer is yes. There was a small outbreak in Far Rockaway, New York, which is not too far from where I live personally. Is it with is it still a concern? Yes, of course, because in most cases what people don't realize, the mumps vaccine at some point loses effectiveness, and this strain seems to have been a little on the strong side, much like how the joke sometimes is worse for you and take work, unfortunately, and what happens is people wind up getting the flu anyway. It is what it is. Now, we're also going to have that. We're going to have quite a bit on other things as well. And in love, you don't expect illnesses and viruses and such to be prevalent. But it might be again this year. We don't know. It's an unknown. We delve into it because we have to, and that's reality. Now, we're going to hopefully go into our actual Metropolitan Division's division. Bleh, wow, that was bad. Division prediction tonight? Yes, we will. The goal, as always, when we do this, try to give a gauge of the division, we previewed it a few weeks ago, and then we got sort of completely thrown off course. Vacations and the such, unfortunately. We tried our best. It didn't always work out the way it was supposed to, but we'll do that too. Another big thing as well, Tuesday night we're going to attempt, keyword attempt, to do the season premiere of Fantasy Hockey X with Michael Clifford and Christopher Pacheco. That'll be on 9 Eastern time. Cross fingers here, that it will be on Blog Talk Radio. Fantasy season obviously being big and important and such this year. Getting off to an early start. We're going to try and get off to an early start simply because a lot of the platforms are open. We may start delving even into the new boy on the block, Yahoo, and their DFS. There's been little leaks and information, nuggets of information that have come out. And though we don't have a true concrete platform yet, it is something that may be available anytime now. Typically when the way the Yahoo rollouts have been so far, when the season rollout comes, usually the other stuff follows in time. They sort of try to get the bugs out. Who knows? Either way, they are going to try Yahoo DFS Hockey based from early leaks, sort of on the way Yahoo does auction. Certain players are just at a certain adjusted value to a cap of $200. The difference is obviously with an auction, you can bid up to you can bid almost all your money on one player. In this case, players will have assigned values that probably will be similar to the way DraftKings and FanDuel does it, the sense of percentage scale. Say maybe your top player is worth $35 or $40 or so. Not maybe, it might be a possibility at some point. It probably will be lower. Some of our high estimates were $35 to $40. Some of our lower ones were like $25 or so, $25 to $30. So we'll see. We'll see where it actually comes in. Yahoo hasn't said how many players there'll be. Will there be 7, 8, 9, or 10 players, etc., and how the positions will work. There's going to be some kind of utility position. There's obviously going to be a goaltending position, probably center, left wing, and right wing, and then defense, obviously. So, you know, same rules apply, as they say. Again, I'm interested to see what comes out. It's always fun to see some of the other services besides DraftKings and FanDuel. Yahoo's putting a lot into this, obviously. I've seen their baseball product. I've seen their football product. While I'm not overly impressed, they have enough investment to basically stay. Doesn't mean they'll stay with the big boys, obviously, but as far as performance-wise, it appears, unless the hockey version wows us somehow, that it's even still below sites like Victive.com that has an excellent and different way to approach daily fantasy hockey, along with even some of our other sites out there. Let's just say that Yahoo is like about fourth to sixth in the totem pole. They're not among the big two, that's for sure. Even if they claim they are, they do have a lot of work to do to differentiate themselves. Because basically, what came out looked kind of generic to what we've seen before. Even Fantasy Aces, their hockey is harder in a lot in most cases than even the big two. Somebody who's played a lot of DFS, I can definitely attest that I can probably finish in the money more times than not playing FanDuel and DraftKings than I can even playing Fantasy Aces. Fantasy Aces is a tougher animal, kind of is right up there as far as difficulty. If you play it right, you play with, our sheets, you play with the Project Roto sheets, etc. DraftKings and FanDuel, while you won't always break the bank, needless to say, you may not, but you're at least going to make some money. And that's always the bottom line when you look at it and you get into something like this. So, again, the road is going to be bumpy. That's the best way to describe it. We're going in. We have obviously the season-long leagues, and something that we're going to be talking about here a little bit, but more on Fantasy Hockey X also. One thing to note, the Program Keeper League drafts will be on consecutive Sundays. The premier tier, as I like to call it, will be on September 27th, which is 4 weeks from tonight. Please note that we will have a different start time more than likely. So we'll probably overlap into some other hockey show that's on Blog Talk Radio. I can't control that one. But we're going to try and do something to where we say do a 7:30 start and run the show for a special 90 minutes. And we're going to see if we can get through the draft and then hopefully maybe bring a few people on from the ESPN Fantasy Draft. Should be a lot of fun. I look forward to it always. It's been a fun ride. It's hard to believe that this league has been around now, on and off for 5 seasons. And comically enough, the last 4 years have either been won by me or Rachel Cena, my fiance. But go figure. There's a lot of other leagues that I'll be talking about during the year as well. There's some money leagues that I'm in this year that I wouldn't normally have joined. I have time to now. And we're going to attempt to give you some insight mixed in with the usual hockey talk that maybe you don't hear in other places, that you're not going to hear on SiriusXM, that you're not going beaten path, basically, without being too far off the reservation. So, again, like I said, we're about halfway through. And what we're going to attempt to do as we're going in here All right, folks. This officially sucks. Hi, Timmy.
I see you didn't really need me to ask you to cue up my entrance music.
No, I didn't. I just guessed, luckily. basically, folks, I apologize because this has been a total absolute mess of a show. It's not Timmy's fault. This is Blog Talk Radio's fault, fully and squarely. Basically, Timmy, to recap, I've been disconnected no less than 4 times.
Oh, my.
In a half hour. Yeah. I'm not really happy, to be honest.
Well, I'm glad they were disconnecting now because in a few short weeks when we actually have hockey to talk about, as in regular season hockey, disconnections are the last thing we want to have on our mind. But
yeah,
they're going to happen.
This is something that, I'll be honest with you, I don't know why they did away with the hi-fi surface, because that actually worked, Timmy. That's the sad part in all this.
I know.
This is awful, folks, to say, but it actually worked the way it was supposed to. And, look, I think we had one episode that there was a little bit of a problem, and that was brief, and it wasn't even on, it wasn't even on their end. So I don't understand how people had all these problems. We didn't seem to have really any, but okay. They went to this lo-fi where you could still connect directly from your computer, and there's nothing, there's just problems everywhere. Even connecting through Skype, I had to sit there, waiting for the Imperial March to finish, hopefully, and try to time it right to where I could get back onto the show. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to, I don't even think I could send this to Dennis if I wanted to. It's just that bad, unfortunately. I'd have to massacre the edit of the show so badly. Then again, wouldn't be the first time.
So if anyone is listening to us live now, cherish this while you can, because I don't think it's going to go in the archives, in other words.
Yeah, the archives might be filled with, F this and F that. Here an F, there an F, everywhere an FF. I'm sure Blog Talk Radio will just appreciate that so much. Basically, through the first half of the show, and out of 30 minutes, I think I got about 18 minutes of actual, talking. The other 10 to 12 minutes, we're trying to get back on from what I was hung up promptly from. Oops.
For whatever reason.
For any and all and whatever reasons. But, it's getting to be the season. I did manage to touch on the Program Keeper League to make it very clear for the person in Middletown, New Jersey that is listening. The Keeper League deadline is September 26th. This is so there's no confusion over what happened last season. And there's only 3 keepers. That's it. Okay. I wish I was kidding, Timmy. I'm talking keepers here.
I know.
But, it's funny. We even talked about Yahoo Daily Fantasy, which, oh, God, I hope folks aren't bracing for something grand because it's not going to happen. Based on what I've seen, would I put my money into it? Not that much, that's for sure. I'll still sit there and happily put my money in the FanDuel one-timer where I win just about every time. I finish in the money or win it just about every time. I'll take that. This is how it is. I did promise El Metro division predictions about 3 weeks, actually 4 weeks ago. Oops. Funny thing. A few funny things happened along the way, folks. I went on vacation.
I went on vacation.
Timmy went on vacation. I tried getting back the week after I left, and unfortunately, we could not literally do traffic. We actually could not get back in until like 9:30. Or was that the fact that the GPS just wanted to take us through all of the Poconos in a grand snake-like fashion? Again, last week, darn thing wouldn't work. So, again, through no fault of our own, okay, maybe some, maybe a little bit, but not really. Things happened where we couldn't control it. So for now, we sadly have to try Skype, hope it works, and then, I'm going to have to hope and pray for certain things to happen and such. And we at this point, Blog Talk Radio may be getting a very nasty email in the morning. Now, our predictions last year, Timmy, simply out. And furthermore, out.
We'll be saying this again 1 year from now when we talk about, when we review this year's predictions.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we were good. I mean, we had Columbus first, though, and that was a problem. We had the Rangers second. Who knew that Columbus was going to have that many injuries to start the season? I didn't.
The injury ninja did.
He probably did, and I should have listened to him. What else is new? Fair enough. That being said, hey, we tried our best. We came up with something, and pretty much 1 through 8 was, other than, well, that, Columbus pick was pretty much right on. The only thing that we didn't have last year, what was scary is I actually predicted Pittsburgh to miss the playoffs, and they almost did. Who knew that I would actually be close for totally unintended reasons? But, they really, a couple, win or two, they may have stolen from Boston.
If it wasn't for the Bruins losing every time in a shootout, the Penguins would have been eliminated.
That's true. One of the big things was literally that difference. Boston had two more overtime losses, and that might have made a difference. I don't know. I mean, say you win both those games, Timmy, and then you're getting into a really slippery slope where both teams have the same identical record.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going into tiebreakers that the league never likes. So,
no,
you're 100% right. This year, however, using our crack staff of two, we believe at least that there will be 5 playoff teams coming from the Metropolitan Division. Likely. Of course, there's always the possibility that this gets screwed up and things happen. But our goal is
if
to try.
If Columbus avoids the injury ninja, you're going to get 5 teams in the Metropolitan Division.
I firmly believe so. Even Pittsburgh last year was in the top 5 man games lost. The potential points lost from the players that they missed, for perspective, Timmy, was number 1 in the league by 35% over the second place team.
Damn.
They could have used that production. I mean, you think about it. Pittsburgh scored 221 goals, folks. If they had been relatively healthy, say to the level of Montreal, which only had 88 man games lost, Pittsburgh had, not as high as, say, Colorado or Columbus, but they were high enough. The impact of their injuries were a lot greater. Or they like to call it a quality metric for injuries. They would have scored at least 35 to 45 more goals last year. So basically a half goal a game difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot. So you figure they're going to have 98 points.
That would leapfrog them over the Islanders and the Capitals, hypothetically speaking.
At the very least. 40 goals, you know, they probably give up a few more, but say their goal differential is around a plus 35 or so.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably enough to hop them into second even, you know, easily, as you said. It's funny because Washington was one of those weird teams last year that their goal differential was almost plus 40. And yet they only had 101 points. You expected them to have a few more points probably. If you looked at overall numbers, went, okay, maybe 105, 106, but nope, 101. And they had to struggle a little bit at the end of the year, which they probably shouldn't have, along with the Islanders, obviously.
And then the Bruins. And then Brayden Holtby shut out the Bruins again.
Again. And all is apparently, not really well with the world. But this year, it's interesting. Because you look, you can easily go up and down real fast and go, all right. The division order, basically, you could make a case that, Columbus is a lot better, obviously. As long as they stay healthy, they're a 100-point team in waiting. And that's going to throw off the point balance in this entire division. If Columbus has 10 to 15 more points, where do all the other points go, for a lack of a better term? Do you really expect the Rangers to finish with 113 points? Considering if Henrik Lundqvist goes down this year, they do not have Cam Talbot to fall back on. Talbot was traded in the offseason to the Edmonton Oilers and not for the first-round pick that Glenn Sather kept dreaming about.
Who's going to be backing up the Rangers? Who's going to be backing up Lundqvist? That's the big question.
Got to think Antti Raanta, perhaps? I mean, I don't know.
I would think so. I mean, he had that. He had some success in Chicago.
I can't see it being Magnus Hellberg. I just can't. I know Hellberg was signed, but, I mean, Hellberg's probably for depth in Connecticut. He won't be playing for the Swamp Rabbits. Yeah, you're going to hear that a lot in the show this year, folks. All those Ranger Swamp jokes about New Jersey. Now that you have an affiliate with the name Swamp in it, you're just going to hear it a lot. That's just how it is. But you know, you got to figure the Rangers are going to slide down a little bit. Washington probably, in theory, you would think would head up slightly, but with the uncertainty of Nicklas Backstrom's injury recovery. From off-season surgery, I don't know. I mean, does he miss just part of training camp? Does he miss the first month? Does he miss a little bit more? I don't think it's going to be more than 4 to 6 weeks into the season.
And then you're looking at who's going to replace Backstrom on that top line. TJ Oshie, can he?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
There you go.
But if he and Ovechkin gel in the first month or two of the season without Backstrom, what do you do?
What do you do? You've got a pretty good abundance of riches there if you're Barry Trotz. That's not a bad thing. Because look, you want to be able to conserve Backstrom for later in the season anyway and for the playoffs. And you also have to hope that Washington just simply avoids playing the Islanders and the Rangers. It's weird. Washington is one of those teams that is and they did sign Justin Williams in the offseason, presumably only for game sevens, or at least that was the good. But they did sign Justin Williams to be a solid, at least stopgap, second line right wing. Is he going to
for April, May, and June?
Right. Is he going to approach 60 points? No. But is he going to get you that crucial goal late in the playoff series that you need?
Yeah, more. You know, he's got a better chance than most.
He might not even get 50, depending on where he's slotted.
I think, to be honest, Timmy, I think I had him around 45 to 50 points. So yeah, you're pretty much dead on. I had Ovechkin at around 95 points. I do not have any top player in this division scoring 100 points this year. Matter of fact, I don't have any player scoring 100 points this year at all.
Not even three said people from Pittsburgh, who we'll get to in a bit.
Nope. And there's a reason for that. And Pittsburgh fans won't like it. Sorry. But as we said, you know, going through the bottom teams real fast, and this is how the – you know, the bottom four in the division, the bottom three I have in the division shaking out, the teams that will not make it. I actually have New Jersey dead last. They may start off pretty well, but to be honest, there was a lot wrong last year that you cannot fix in one season. Ray Shiro is still trying to get his people in. Lou Lamoriello out. Lou Lamoriello spies out. I wish I was kidding. There's still the elephant in the room in Albany, known as Lou Lamoriello's son. Development has been warped for years, as we already have seen the articles all over the place through the internet, maybe some that I wrote perhaps. But you look at this team and you feel sorry for Corey Schneider, who is basically a top three goaltender in this league. And if he was on a better team, might be able to knock on the door at the precipice of Carey Price and say hello.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, this is the team he has. And if you throw out the first 6 weeks last year with Bryce Salvador captaining the team before his alleged, I still don't believe he had as bad of an injury as was said, but whatever, that doesn't matter now. This team was an abysmal 59% on the penalty kill. When your team is in the 50s on a penalty kill over a month into a season, that's a problem. That's a significant problem. And it did seem like once the injury happened, the Devils were around the mid-80s as far as the penalty kill. It wasn't great. But as
Go
a result, at the end of the season, they finished with a PK around 81%, which actually was respectable, considering. Some argued that Andy Green was hurt. And yes, Andy Green was not 100% through the first quarter of the season, and even he admitted that later. It did not excuse what he saw, obviously. And again, you know, 181 goals for, that might actually go down this year. Devils were a very opportunistic team in the second half, did not generate a lot of shots on goal. Only Buffalo was worse at generating shots per game when the season ended. The Devils were darn close to 30th, actually, over the last 30 to 35 games of the season. And that's part of the reason why I have them in last. Of course,
so,
Tank
for Matthews is well underway in Newark.
To be honest, I don't think they'll finish that far behind Carolina. I think it'll only be it might even be a tie or a point or two away. But, you know, if they finish with, say, 70 to 75 points, I'm not going to be shocked. You know, for Devils fans out there, sit back, relax, enjoy, have a good laugh, enjoy Patty Elias's last season. And hope
enjoy
he
when he's traded in March.
You know what? Might be right.
Yep.
I hope I'm wrong, but everybody I keep talking to is saying that as much as he doesn't want another kick at the can, I don't think he can handle it. I think that may be the only reason he stays in New Jersey, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't have quite enough left to play on even a contender. I think even he'll admit he needs to be sheltered more than he was last year. So we'll see. But you know, look, Schneider will have a good season. He'll rack up pretty much 99% of the team's wins. And
probably get you, if New Jersey wins 29, 28, which I wouldn't be surprised if it's that low, he'll get you 26 of those wins.
Yeah, that sounds about dead on and right. Carolina is right behind them. I'm just going to run through these, Timmy. it's just the best way to go with about 10 minutes of the live portion. We're going to try to hammer these out. Carolina has a lot of problems themselves. They didn't really do much in the offseason. They lost, obviously they could have brought back Yuri Tuisti, which would have been interesting. I still think they should. They need scoring help. They only scored 188 goals themselves, Timmy, despite being one of the higher shooting teams in the league.
Yeah.
Timmy, this was a team that was in the top 10 as far as healthiest teams, man games lost to injury. And they only scored 7 more goals than New Jersey. That's it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So by my math, I think they were 27th in the league in scoring.
Yep.
That's a nasty number for a team that's near the top 10 in shots on goal and in the top 10 as far as scoring chances.
And those shots might go down a lot that's here without Semin, whose shooting percentage is obviously going to be screwed one way or another when he's with Montreal this year. But
oh, absolutely.
But I honestly think getting rid of Semin was the best thing Carolina could have done.
Yeah, they had to do it.
In this offseason, getting rid of Semin, their best move by far.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when you know it's kind of bad. You don't want to say it, but it's true. Obviously, Ron Francis is still holding on to Cam Ward for what unknown reasons that can only be known to Cam Ward and probably Ron Francis. Look, Cam Ward didn't have a bad year last year, folks. But a 909 save percentage in this league is still not average. It's not all that close to average anymore. God, it keeps going up, Timmy. The average save percentage for a goaltender is like around 916 now. In some cases, higher, depending on the metrics you use and which advanced stats person you talk to. And Ward lost them a lot of games last year because he gave up had a tendency to give up a goal that you shouldn't give up here and there, and it hurt them a lot. They bring in Eddie Lack in the offseason, which I think actually was their best move.
Absolutely.
Lack will push Ward. Yes, I've heard this from every advanced stat guy. Lack's high danger save percentage is not all that great. He does have a tendency to give up a lot of rebounds down the middle. But Roberto Luongo once upon a time did that too, and he turned out okay.
Especially when he left Vancouver.
And the thing here is this.
I'm expecting the same thing from Lack.
Yeah, I'm
not to the degree of Luongo by any means. What he did in Florida last year was pretty outstanding. But and in part because I think Florida had a pretty good defense in front of him. Carolina, not so much. But I do think Lack can, if he can sustain the 915 save percentage with this defense, that would be pretty remarkable.
Yeah, considering that Carolina for stretches of the season was allowing right around 25 to 26 shots a game.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I mean, you look at Ward's numbers, they're pretty good. I mean, you consider the 909 save percentage. And basically, for the season when Ward started, they were giving up less than 27 shots a game. That's solid numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, Carolina has an awesome shot differential, which I don't think people realize. They were top 5 in the league in shot differential. And this team finished with 71 points. So clearly, whatever Bill Peters learned from Detroit rubbed off.
Isn't going over well.
It just didn't translate into points. And part of the reason is that is because guys, for a lack of a better term, you hate to say it, but Alexander Semin was not the only problem.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Skinner was another one, fairly or unfairly.
Look at
Skinner really quick. Exactly. Yeah, Principal Skinner, folks. Look, Skinner has to play better. He has to take on more of a role. 5 of his last 10 games last year, he played 15 minutes, right at 15 minutes or less. That's a third-line player, basically. He should be a first-line winger.
Mm-hmm.
At the very minimum, he should be playing along with Eric Staal. There's no reason why not. He's got 63 points.
He's only topped 50 points once.
Exactly.
So that tells you something.
You know, the goals are there. The goals are there with the shots that he puts up and the individual scoring chances that he creates, typically more than two a game. That's generally viewed as a pretty high number for forwards. The goals should come. If they don't come this year, look, he's a goal scorer. They need goals. If they got to trade him somewhere else, say to Toronto, which has been the rumor for about a year and a half now, I wouldn't be shocked. So basically, you know, I have Carolina, New Jersey, basically interchangeable. And then I have Philadelphia, who will have an improved season. But again, I, for all the things that I've heard out of Philadelphia, this is a team that had 18 overtime losses last year, and that's a lot. Okay,
yeah.
Who am I kidding? It's a ton.
Even if they were to improve this year, they're a victim of being in a very tough division. I still, even if they can get to 88, 89, 90 points, that won't be good enough.
It won't be close. I mean,
even offensively, if they can get 230 goals, which would be a big, which would be a 15 goal upgrade from a year ago, they're still not going to make it.
Yeah,
they're going to need
If they get 15 to 20 more goals, that translates to about a 5 to 7 point improvement. 90 points isn't going to do it. It's not even going to be close. But that probably is about where they end up because they cannot score goals at home or on the road at times. It was weird last year. This is a Philly team that somehow managed to finish with a 23-11-7 record at home. And it seemed like every time I turned on a game, folks, they were struggling to score two or three goals at home, but still winning because of Steve Mason.
Percentage, yeah, go figure. They actually found themselves a pretty good goaltender since Ron Hextall, and they can't score.
Mason has kind of always been, in a sense, he lost confidence, and he got a big head when he was in Columbus. If you keep his games played down, if you keep it around, say, 52 to 58 games, he's an excellent goaltender, I think. And you're going to see more of that this year. But there's a big number that cannot happen for Philadelphia this year. And that number is 11, as in 11 shootout losses, Timmy. 11.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. That led the NHL, against usual shutout futile teams like Detroit and even Florida, who was a little better last year. And, yes, Boston too. Sorry, Timmy. Boston was rather bad at the shootout. We know already.
And the sad thing about these shootouts is they're having an adverse effect on the standings.
Yep, and it did last year.
I'll take an example out west just for a quick second. L.A., 2-8 in a shootout last year. 2 points. They fell behind Calgary. Missed the playoffs.
Yep. Same thing with Boston. And
if you look
at the numbers, folks, both teams missed because of the shootout. You look at all their numbers and all their advanced stats, says that they shouldn't have missed the playoffs. What was the difference? You guessed it. Oh, the shootout won't decide these things. It's just a way for the fans. No, 2 points. That's nice, folks. But Uncle Gary, your shootout knocked out two teams that should have been in. Just putting it out there. All right. The quick, short version. The five teams that will make the playoffs in the Metropolitan Division in order with less than a minute left. Can we do this? Yes. Okay, folks. In the fifth position, we have the Pittsburgh Penguins because of injuries. And that's why Sidney Crosby will not finish with 100 points because Phil Kessel will play less than 80 games this year. That's right, kids. Fourth place, we have the New York Islanders. They'll drop a little bit. But, hey, they'll be just fine. They'll be better off in the playoffs for it. And do not be shocked if they make a deep run all for Al Arbor. Third place,
We have the Columbus Blue Jackets, like I said, 10 to 12 point bump at least. Should be enough to put them right around 100 points or just over, similar to the Islanders. Washington will finish in first over the New York Rangers in a bit of a shock. It'll go back and forth all season. And there you have the Metro. And that's the archive, kids. See, Timmy, I made it.
I don't know. No one's seen this, but I'm definitely clenching my fist in the air. And I'm about to punch a hole in the wall, maybe. I don't know. For blog talk purposes.
I hear you, Timmy. I hear you. Look, I'm frustrated. I got an email from a few places this week. If I have the time to do it over Labor Day weekend, at least I'll consider it. My only problem I don't like about Podbean is it is Wi-Fi reliant. So, I have to find a way to record the show, of course, but their package is better. I won't be paying $40 a month anymore. Though I can write that off on my taxes, which is nice. By the way, being a freelancer, Timmy, I realized in a rather amusing way, I'm supposed to be paying taxes quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody told me this. So amusingly enough, I'll have to pay it at the end of the year. I don't think there'll be any penalties. It's kind of just sort of like an accidental thing where I didn't realize it. A little late in the year to like try and fix it now, or I'll just pay whatever it is. And basically, I went through all the funny tax calculators. And I was like, wait a minute, if it wasn't for the Obama penalty, I'd be doing pretty good right now. wouldn't be as bad. That actually knocked it up by like $300-$400, and I was like, ah, darn, I was like, wow, with the deductible part from the FICA, the second half of it, I would have been paying a hair less than $2,000 on taxes, which isn't bad. I would have thought it would have been much worse. So I was like, damn. I talked to Mr. Metzer about it last night, and he started laughing. He's like, you didn't do it quarterly, did you? I was like, no. He's like, don't worry about it. He's like, I didn't do it the first year either, and I didn't get nailed for it. So, he's like, basically, as long as you have the right, things and numbers and such, that's all they care about. I think the state of New Jersey, it was laughable. I think I owed like $200 based on one. It's just like, really? That's it? Because it's just state income tax. It's not, it's basically like, it's basically a fraction of a percentage when you look at it. It's like maybe one, it's like a little over 1.5% maybe.
That's it?
When you really get down to it, according to their tax table, it's like 1.5%. So say if I made $16,000 from actual hockey work, the table amount was about $241. So about 1.5%. I know it's just weird. Of course, Rachel's like, why are you looking at this now? And I'm like, she's like, I have a CPA. I was like, I am not trusting a CPA to anything. I just don't. I was like, I'll do it myself. I was like, if I make a mistake, that's my problem. I was like, this isn't that hard. I mean, all I have to do is remember what I can report and can't report. Damn, why can't that wedding be sooner? That's kind of how we ran it. But, yeah, I had the league set up. I have the 16 teams in. I accidentally booted Panucci out of the league, Timmy.
Really?
Don't ask. When I started purging some of the teams that were inactive, I accidentally must have X'd over his team. And I said to Panucci, I was like, well, look at it this way. There were six other teams that got the axe. So basically, you may end up with a better team just without any keepers anyway. And he's like, yeah, that's true. I was pretty crappy last year. So, and I brought in somebody, that wanted to join the league personally. And since they, it's first come, first serve for the last spot, I was like, why not?
It'll be fun. The fact that there'll be three teams that could be up for relegation should make this interesting. Obviously, I can't be relegated because I run the league.
Well, let's just hope I avoid the injury, Ninja.
Pretty much.
The last few years, I haven't.
Yeah, but you didn't do that bad last year, did you?
No, I don't think so. I don't have the standings from last year in front of me, but I don't think I did that badly.
Hold on, I'll tell you in a second, then.
Mm-hmm.
Where was that thing? There it is. Yeah, we can do this for a few minutes, and then I'll have to figure out how I'm editing the show to send it to Dennis. He's going to love this.
Why
you guys?
There you go.
Let's see. Okay,
that
was pretty
bad. 76-142-12. 18th out of 20th.
Yeah, you had been relegated last year. Crap. Brian finished dead last. Yeah. I probably had the worst numbers of a division winner in the history of life. That was bad. I said that to somebody. I was like, if you look at my team, and you're going to say, the first thing you're going to say is, A, how did you get in the playoffs? And B, what did you do?
Really?
I had that in a few leagues, though. I mean, I had that in a money roto league, and I managed to finish in the money. Problem was, I never got paid for it. That was the Hockey Writers League where I came back to finish in second place. And I ran out of time. If I had calculated things a little bit better, I might have been able to pull it off. I think I finished like 3.5 points out of first or something like that. And it came down to the fact that I just didn't have enough offensive points that I really needed. And that was my own mistake for not putting guys in, right? And I had 9 slots left for center and 12 slots left for left wing.
So how many teams
like
are we having?
Right. We have a 16-team league this year, Timmy. Yep, 16. We knocked it down from 20. The reason for that, to be honest, was really to get rid of some of the inactives. There was just too many last year. That was the problem. And, I kept some of the others. I kept Russ, obviously, because I have to keep Russ, otherwise Russ will kill me. You know how that goes. I sacked somebody that you didn't think I would. Offerdahl's gone. I finally sacked him. I had enough. I wonder how pissed off he's going to be when he realizes it. Had to. I haven't heard from the guy in three years. I mean,
it's probably because we drove him out of the show.
No, nothing like that ever happened. No, never. Did no such thing. I am a perfectly nice person. Sure. In that sense, I did this for, that way we can have two leagues, and have like a spots up for relegation. Basically, I'll be in both drafts, but I'm going to probably play like, sort of like a dummy, like try to stay near the middle of the standings to keep it fair. Or I'll have Rachel run the team and see what happens. Really. I just wanted to wear the top three teams are legitimately the top three teams, and that's it. And that way they can be bumped up, et cetera. And I want to see how this works because, the guys from Crime Spree Hockey and I did something kind of like this 3 or 4 years ago, and it was pretty good for a while. And then, of course, unfortunately, they got bored and got lives, and that was that. Some of us are very lucky and privileged to be able to do what we love, and I consider myself one of those people. So I have that. I have a dummy Yahoo league that I set up. I don't even know why. I think I just set it up just because I set it up. And it's basically just a roto points league, and I probably just invite some experts and experiment with it and see what we can find between that and Yahoo Daily. So either way, it should be interesting. I don't want to touch on the Al Arbor stuff too much, just because a lot of articles were written on it, and it's basically time just to give the man and his family the respect that he deserves. He's still one of the classiest people I've ever met in my life, and yet was able to always be able to have a good time with people. You could not dislike the guy if you tried.
Even if you never met him.
Yeah, it's funny because even like Ranger Media and Ranger Press and Ranger Management, et cetera, you try to go through and find, they talk about obviously Pop Van sucks and et cetera. But when it came to Al Arbor, they did, they respected him even back then. I think they had John Davidson on some, I can't remember. It might have been Sirius XM Power Play. I don't remember yesterday or Friday when it happened, sadly. And, one of the first things he said is like, to a man, that 79 Rangers team was lucky to get past the Islanders. They knew they were. Much like he joked, the 84 Islanders were lucky to get past the Rangers. It's kind of true to a point. But, it's funny how hockey often works. God, I'm scared. When I do this Tuesday night show, is it even going to work? It was so bad trying to get on, even to get on the Blog Talk. I think I finally clicked in at 7:59. It's like, whew, just made it. Only be disconnected seconds after the opening ended. and I was able to get back on as it was ending, so it doesn't even sound like I missed anything. The other problems I had was I noticed about 40 seconds to a minute, the other two times I was booted, it said I was connected, and I actually wasn't. So that bugged me a little bit. Yeah. Said I was on, and then all of a sudden it just dropped me off. I don't know if I was on or off or what, and that, that bothers me a little bit because I'm trying to figure out something, and I can't even do it because, to be honest, I had no clue. It's like, am I on, off, or what? Makes it a little bit tougher to do a show. And, that's why basically, like I said, we have less than 6 weeks till the regular season starts. Do I plunge it now? What if Blog Talk somehow figures out a way to get the Hi Five working again? And then I'm trying to download 600 or 700 sound clips off their servers. That's not good either, obviously. Not to mention the amount of space it's going to take up. How many memory sticks do I have or gonna need?
You don't have a cloud file to back them up.
That's what I'm worried. Well, I do have iCloud on the laptop, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I made
time a little bit, but I don't know.
My other problem is a lot of these files are basically from the first year of the program.
Really?
I don't think I could even find the links to re-download them, to be honest.
Oh my.
Yeah, there's some that definitely do not exist anymore. Some of the remixes as well are a problem, like the Hey Devils Catch Fire. I can get that one, obviously. I can convert, I can convert it off YouTube. That's not a problem. The remixes are the Henrik remixes are always going to be there.
But some of them, you know, might be a little bit of a challenge. So,
like some of the wrestling music that we have on?
The considerable volume of wrestling music, yes.
That, I mean, and what we really need, Hashioki. That's the one clip that needs to be saved.
Yeah, I can't lose that. Rick would kill me. I got in enough trouble with him once in the last couple of weeks. and it wasn't even for the intended reason. It was simply because, as he put it to me, he's like, "Chris, I still have friends in Buffalo." And I was like, "I understand that, but, you know," I was like, "I used you trying to be helpful and kind with this, not for it to be taken the way it was." And he's like, "Yeah, I realized that later." And I was like, "Yeah, exactly." I was like, "I wasn't trying to be a dick." I was like, "Just trying
for
to
once in your life."
Yeah, go figure, right? Well, you know, the one time, you know, I was like, "You might want to take off that part where you call me a fraudulistic journalist, et cetera." I was like, "Because I don't think that's true." I was like, "Because then I am going to sue you for slander, and it's not going to end well, especially since you're a vocal union person." And he's like, "Yeah, I know." I was like, "I also have evidence that basically there still is a quote-unquote list of bars that Patrick Kane is not allowed in Buffalo anyway, and it's not just because he's underage."
Ka-ching.
I was like, "Just like the two bars in Madison that he's banned from, and the three bars in Chicago that he's still not allowed in without people with him."
Wow.
Yeah. Like I said, I know, you know, I said to him, I said, "I know a lot more than you think I do about it." And I also know that the guy that I talk to about it tends to be rather reliable and is still in Buffalo, actually in South Buffalo, unlike you. And he's just like, "Damn."
According to my sources within the...
Yeah. That's where it gets dangerous. I mean, you know, but that story alone to me in the first 8 hours had like over 8,000 views. It was insane. Chicago fans were not happy with it, and I can understand why. You know,
I wouldn't be too.
You know, I'd be pissed off more because the guy, you know, look, the guy's not their friend. I mean, he's a freaking douche.
Yeah.
At times, he just is. And you know what? And you just can't say that about, you know, one athlete. There's quite a few athletes, people in general, never mind athletes, that are just that way. And you know,
we've encountered quite a few of them in our lives.
Oh Jesus! Like when I was in Vegas. Yeah, I ran into one. I meant to tell you. I never told you that.
Yeah, because we didn't bump into each other.
I know. Blame that ring.
And the jet lag, because I could have made a better effort, but it's too tired.
I know. Hey, that's what weddings for, vacations in 2016. Since I am moving, so that's gonna be fun. But you know, hopefully next week there's less problems. I do not like using Skype either, but I'm going to have to for a few weeks until I figure this out. I don't know. Podbean's pretty decent. I know their audio quality is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that gamble. It's like, do I take the gamble? And I'm looking at this, at the show notes, and it's like, wow, I can't spell September again. Yes, it's now September. Yes.
September.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. That's what happens when you do this at 2 a.m., which I'll be doing a lot of all season long. It's something that has to at least be considered, and I'll talk to the guys from Fantasy Hockey X and let them know what's been going on, because I can't keep doing it. You know, if it's going to be like this, then I have to plan something, because I, like I said, I don't even think I could send this. I could send parts of it to Dennis, and maybe just do like the last half hour,
and then edit it out that way and just tell them, yeah, I'm sorry, you know, we don't have 60 minutes, but, you know, I have, you know, this in blocks. This is the best I can do. And go that way. Or, you know, edit out the first part and just be like, yeah, sorry. You know, because I know he has to slot it. And it's just like, you know, I'd rather give you something than nothing, et cetera. So, you know, I may just scrap this one and go with the Tuesday show and see what occurs and then go from there. Shit.
That might be your best bet at this point. Thankfully,
yeah.
You know, this is one of our last shows in the dog days of August.
I know.
And we can forget about it.
That's a good part. I mean, look, next week is, you know, starts training camp week. You know, well, not next week, but, you know, next Sunday, we'll be previewing training camp week as the Wookiees arrive in the middle of the week usually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they get weighed. They see who has groin injuries, who doesn't, et cetera. But should be a good bit of fun. I'm looking forward to it, at least. I'm also interested to see where the heck Yuri Kusti actually ends up. That's just weird. I mean, Kusti should have ended up somewhere by now. I know there's rumors. Even Montreal's in the running for him.
How about Cody Franzen?
Franzen's going to Buffalo eventually. If he isn't, I'd be a little bit surprised. But, I mean, it's probably Buffalo and one other team that we just don't know about at all. So watch.
Boston Bruins.
Yeah, it's not Boston. Boston's out. At least from everyone I've heard unofficially, Boston's out. They won't say it. You know, they won't write it, obviously. I think one or two have, though. I'm not sure, but...
I haven't seen it, but I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bruins have them running. Plus, he's not worth the money. That's why he's still on the market.
Yeah, I think what happened when Erhoff was signed for like $1.5 million, people just went, uh-oh. And that's one thing that will instantly drive your value down is when basically a quote-unquote similar player that maybe even a little better than you signs for far less just because they want a chance to win. That is going to drive your value down dramatically. You look at it, Erhoff is actually getting paid less than some guy that formerly played for Buffalo last year as a right winger and was just absolutely horrendous for most of the season. Named Chris Dort. E5. I mean, and Chris Dort is getting paid more money than Christian Erhoff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let it just sink in a little. Just let it stew. Let it sit there for a while. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. I think I'm actually just not going to even bother. Because that first half, the second half's fine. Actually, I'm kind of sort of listening back to it in the background already, and that's fine. I mean, I need to send him a 60-minute show, and I can't even get 50 minutes. That's just kind of no good. You know, I'll explain to Dennis. You know, there were technical difficulties. Hopefully the Tuesday show works. If there's a problem with that, then I'm going to consider changing, you know, platforms and go that way.
It's been a great run.
I can't.
At some point, we might have to begin with.
Yeah. The other thing with PodBee, too, is they'll give you your own website. You know, they'll give you your own domain as well. And I don't have to pay for that.
Yeah.
I was talking to Kate and a few of the ladies that do a hockey podcast over on Podbean,
And she's like, yeah, we don't, you know, we just get the unlimited audio. It's like $10 a month. I think if you pay it all for it all at once, Timmy, I think it's $96 a year.
That's
or
not
you can
terrible.
Do 12 pay- yeah, or you can do 12 payments of $10. You know, and like she jokes, she's like, you can even do like basically, you know, a GoFund or a crowdfund. Yeah, for it. And they'll even kind of, you know, at Podbean, they'll kind of help sponsor it a little bit and promote it. So, you know, it's better than paying $40 a month at Blog Talk Radio. And I'm paying a discount. The only reason why I'm paying a discount is because I was technically originally part of the Fantasy Sports Channel.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, I would be paying $40 for this. And for me, even at this point, $20 is too much. For the hi-fi, I'd pay 20, you know, for the what we had a few weeks ago, I'd pay $20 a month for that because it was good. I mean, I could actually hear myself on shows and everything, which was nice because for a couple of years you couldn't. You know, basically the person that called in, you couldn't hear. You know, the person that called in as the host, you could not hear for whatever bizarre reason. You know, with the hi-fi, I could hear myself perfectly.
Yeah, I was quite surprised that Blog Talk dished out the hi-fi. I was quite surprised at the result, too.
Yeah. Well, they said there was a spike, there was a sudden spike in you know, errors and bugs and such. And I think partially what that was simply fantasy football season. I really think that's the case, Timmy. You know, all these football and, you know, fantasy football shows were coming on and some other shows too, obviously, that had come off of summer break. And they just couldn't handle volume. And I think that's where it started to get all screwed up. So and it's unfortunate. I can't really wait around. I can't do this in October or November. When I'm working 10 to 12 hours a day and then trying to babysit a child on top of it for 5 hours, that's not going to work well. I'm still trying to figure out how I'll have time to do much of anything or sleep. But you know, I digress. So it's kind of something that. It may be done very quickly and very suddenly.
Well, I do not know what this thing called sleep is, but I might try to figure that out because I do need to sign off for the night.
I hear you, Timmy. I hear you. The only way to end this show, and unfortunately I have to adjust the volume on this too now because, well, damn it. I miss being able to truthfully play some of these things at lower volume because it actually sounded crisp and smooth for once. Would be this. Folks, we're getting out of here. We'll see you next Sunday night from parts unknown of the Jersey Shore. Till then, for myself and Mr. Timmy Rosenthal, we say goodnight with the Blast Bonanza. Aloha, kids.
Aloha.